your Bibles, please, to the book of Acts, chapter 24. The book of Acts, chapter 24. I'm going to teach tonight on the subject, the science of the conscience. The science of the conscience. That's very interesting because the word conscience comes from its two words, con or co and science. Co-science. And so tonight I'm going to teach on that subject. Acts chapter 24, please. I'm going to read starting with verse number 14. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and the prophets. He's saying folks call me a heretic because I believe in the Bible. Verse number 15. And have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. And here's my text. And herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. I hope you listen carefully tonight as I teach on the science of the conscience. Our Heavenly Father, we come now to the teaching of thy wonderful, wonderful book. Thank you for this subject, and I pray you help us to do it justice as we speak from thy word and teach therefrom. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to talk to you and teach to you tonight on the subject, the science of conscience. Now then, listen carefully. The word science comes from the word con, or co, which means with. And then the word science, or so, co-laborer, that means we labor with. Co-operate, which means we operate with somebody. We do a work with somebody. Co-champion, colleague, if you please. We're in league with somebody. So when it says the word knowledge means, the word science means knowledge. So what it means is co-knowledge. Now, follow me carefully. Basically, there are two ways that we're supposed to learn what God wants us to do. Number one, through the Bible. But the Bible doesn't speak on every subject. So, the co-knowledge is the co-giver of knowledge is the conscience. That means there are two ways of of knowing right, what your conscience says and what your Bible says. But now, wait a minute. Nothing is quite so overrated as I feel led to do so and so. I call it the Baptist word of knowledge. We criticize, and well, we should. Our charismatic friends were saying, I have a word of knowledge. But the same thing is true, nearly, when we Baptist people say, I feel led. I feel led to quit. No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. And please don't misunderstand this, but I want you to follow me carefully now. The Holy Spirit is leading me to do thus and so. Ladies and gentlemen, 999 things out of 1,000 the Holy Spirit leads you to do are written right there in that book. The truth is, the honest, simple truth is, that God leads you two ways. Now hear me carefully. He leads you first by what is written in the Bible. He leads you second by your conscience, or if you please, by you asking God to control your mind and your thinking, and you make the decision that you're supposed to make. You'll come a lot nearer. If the Bible doesn't speak about something, you'll come a lot nearer making the decision, pardon me, if you're spiritual yourself, and if you lost your own will by getting your conscience in good shape. So I want to say now, there are two ways to find what God wants you to do. One is the Bible, and two is the conscience. Now, most of our consciences, I call the NIV consciences. Are you listening? I mean, most of us, our consciences are in worse shape than the NIV Bible is. Now, if we're going to have these knowledge of the will of God, co-givers of knowledge of the will of God, we have a perfect Bible. Now we're going to have to do what we can to perfect our conscience. Because the conscience is the co-laborer with the Bible. For example, the Bible doesn't tell us what to do in every instance. Now, by the way, most of the instances the Bible does tell us what to do, but we don't know what the Bible says about it. But now, in the Garden of Eden, the conscience was perfectly set to warn and lead man. Before man sinned, his conscience was perfectly set. His conscience could be, God could speak to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, but Adam and Eve likewise could follow their own conscience because it was perfectly set for the leadership of man. In the fall of man, the conscience was damaged. Not ruined, but damaged. Now that damaged conscience is called in Hebrews 10:22 an evil conscience. In Titus 1:15, a defiled conscience. In 1 Timothy 4:1 and 2, a seared conscience. In 1 Corinthians 8:7, likewise, a seared conscience. In 1 Corinthians 8:12, a weak conscience. Now, somebody says, my conscience is clear. That doesn't mean you're right at all. The truth is, if your conscience is clear about something, the chances are you probably are wrong. Now, what we've got to do, since we only have two ways to find what God wants us to do, the Word of God and our conscience. Now, we have the perfect Word of God. Now, we've got to figure out some way to get our conscience improved, our back in good repair, so we can trust our conscience. I'm talking to people who, some people, they have a defiled conscience, a seared conscience. And this is called, when our conscience is in good repair, it is called in 1 Timothy 1:5, a good conscience. In 1 Timothy 3:9, it's called a pure, listen to me now, a pure conscience. In Hebrews 9:14, it's called a purged conscience. Now listen, we have a fallen conscience. Now we've got to get that conscience back so we can know what God wants us to do in cases not covered with the Bible. Now, if it's covered with the Bible, you don't have to check on it. You don't have to check your conscience. If it's covered, for example, you're supposed to go to church. That's in the Bible. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And by the way, as we come closer to the end of the age, you're supposed to go to church more than you used to. So much the more as you see the day approaching, the Bible says. Now, we know we're supposed to. We know we're supposed to tithe. And we know we're supposed to bring the tithe to the house of God. That's plain. That's in the Bible. We know that a man's not supposed to have long hair. And a woman's not supposed to wear clothes that pertain to a man. And a man's not supposed to wear clothes that pertain to a woman. We know we're supposed to be clean. Why? God says all those things. It's in the Bible. But there are things in the Bible. They're not things that we have to decide on. Not in the Bible. And our conscience must decide. Let your conscience be your guide. It all depends what kind of shape your conscience is in. Now, if we had in the Garden of Eden a conscience that was perfectly set to warn and to lead men. The word conscience, it's that something on the inside that tells you what to do. Now we've got to train that something to tell the truth. And we've got to find ways to make that conscience usable so he can trust it. Listen, the average person in this world who's saved shouldn't trust his own conscience. You say what you do. He ought to find somebody who has a good conscience and trust his conscience. But now, how to get your conscience in good shape so you can use it? The co-science, co-knowledge, how you can use this co-labor with the Bible. All right? Now, there are several ways that you can get your conscience in good shape. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. Use your Bibles now. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. All right, you read it out loud, please. The fifth verse of the 1 Timothy 1. Ready? Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart. Hold it. Let's stop right there. That word charity is the same word that's... Well, let's go ahead and read it all. We haven't gotten the word conscience yet. Let's try again. Now, the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. Now, that word charity is translated love. It's the word for love. It's the word agape. Look at me now. How can my conscience be reclaimed to make it usable and useful again. Easy. First thing is, you've got to love. You've got to love. If you don't have love in your heart, then your conscience is not trustworthy. And so the more you love, and brother, I'm talking about deeply love people. If you love people, you're using an exercise that'll get your conscience back in good shape. I'm simply saying that if you do it, and you know how you feel about people, Brother Keith read that letter a while ago, and he was obviously moved. You could feel the compassion that he had for that lady that died, and they found her when she was dying. You could feel that. How long has it been since you felt anything like that? I'm saying, if you want to get your conscience back in good shape, you've got to love. All right? That's the first thing. Okay, now, we have a conscience that was good in the Garden of Eden. With the fall, the conscience fell. It's co-science or co-knowledge. It, with the Bible, tells us what to do and what's right and wrong. And we've got to get our conscience in good shape so it'll tell us accurately what is right and wrong. And the first thing you've got to do is you've got to love. Now look at Titus. It's right after 2 Timothy. Look at Titus chapter 1 and verse 15. Titus 1, verse 15. Read it out loud, please. Ready? Unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. Okay, what does it mean? It means that if you're going to get your conscience in good shape, you've got to first love. Say it. Say it again. Say it again. Now, the second thing you've got to do is be pure. You've got to have a pure mind. If your mind is not pure, your conscience is not good enough shape to trust. If you watch the soap operas this afternoon, don't you trust your conscience. If you watched the dirty movie last night, it was advertised in the newspaper, on television, a sexy movie last night, then don't you trust your conscience. And don't you come to me saying, I have a clear conscience. You don't have a clear conscience. You don't have a conscience in good shape. It's broken. And if you get your conscience in good enough shape to be honest and tell you what to do, you're going to have a pure mind. Ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing America needs tonight like she needs pure minds. Our minds are defiled. Our minds are wicked. Our minds are... And I'm not talking about the heathen out yonder. I'm talking about folks sitting in this room right now. I'm saying it's time God's people got minds that are pure. And one of these days, you're going to come to something. The Bible does not speak about what you're supposed to do. And you're going to have to trust your own conscience. But if you're not don't have a pure mind, then you can't trust your own conscience and you won't know what to do. Hey, this is big league stuff. We've got to know right from wrong. But the Bible does not always speak about every little detail about right and wrong. And there's got to be that inner voice we call the conscience down in here, that inner self that tells us what to do. If we have an inner self that tells us what to do, we got to keep that inner self in good shape. And if we keep that inner self in good shape, we've got to love. And if we keep that inner self in good shape, we've got to have minds that are pure. Young men, you can have a pure mind. You can look at women without having an evil thought. You can keep your eyes from looking in lust at evil pictures. And you can keep your mind on that which is holy. I'm simply saying, you don't... Yeah, listen, if you're the kind of guy that takes a little peek at the picture at the newsstand, nobody's looking, then don't you trust your conscience. You better come to me and ask me what to do. You better come to somebody who has a good conscience, a conscience in good shape, and ask them what to do. There is not a thing America needs as much as she needs people that have pure minds. And I'm talking about Baptist Americans. I'm talking about First Baptist America. Keep your mind pure. The day is going to come when you're going to have to make some decision about right or wrong. And you won't know. And you're going to take that conscience, that inner self, and that inner self is going to lie to you because it's not in working shape and not in good condition. But if you love and if you have a pure mind, you are helping to renew that inner self. You're helping to renew that conscience that fell in the Garden of Eden. And after a while, you can learn to trust that conscience. Number three. Look in your Bibles, please. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 18. Read verse 18 and 19, please. Ready? This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them might war a good warfare. Let's stop there. He said, Timothy, I want you to fight the war. I want you to fight the warfare. All right? Now, look at verse 19. Read it out loud. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some have put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Now look at me. Paul said here, he said, Timothy, if you want to get this conscience in good shape, if this inner self, it's got to tell you right from wrong when the Bible doesn't speak, if this cold knowledge of what God wants you to do is in good shape, he said, you've got to love, you've got to have a pure mind, and he said, you've got to fight the warfare. Now you listen to me. If we don't fight the warfare in the battle, then we won't have a good conscience. Paul said, Timothy, if you want to have a good conscience, you've got to fight in the war. What does it mean? It means we've been called to fight. That's what it means. God didn't call us to a picnic. We're supposed to fight. We're supposed to fight sin. I'm not saying just for fighting sin, but we're supposed to realize that sin is trying to destroy our young people and destroy our churches and destroy our ministries and destroy our soul winning. We've got to hate sin. And if you don't hate and fight sin, you won't have a good conscience. I'm simply saying, ladies and gentlemen, you have a conscience that was made usable in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve had a conscience that was perfectly set to warn and lead them concerning right and wrong. But that conscience was damaged, not ruined, but damaged in the Garden of Eden. It became evil. It became defiled. It became seared. It became weak. Now then, God comes along and says, you've got to get this conscience in good shape. But I say, dear God, what have I got to do to get this conscience in good shape? He says, you've got to love. He says, you've got to have a pure mind. He says, you've got to fight in the warfare. Fight it. And once in a while, somebody said, Brother Howells, I'm just tired of fighting. Then you can't get, don't touch your conscience then. Now you listen carefully. These little namby-pamby churches that don't fight don't have any convictions either. I mean, a church that doesn't fight has no conviction. Why? That's exactly why their consciences are lying to them. All across America, I see preachers. Sometimes I graduates. Not many, thank God. But I see preachers all across America changing their standards and changing their convictions. You know why? Because they're getting out of the fight. They tell me across the country, especially when they get around 50 years of age, and especially up around 60, and they'll say, I'm tired of fighting. Okay, don't trust your conscience. I'm 67 years old. I'm still in the battle. I'm 67 years old. I'm still fighting the devil. I'm 67 years old. I'm still trying to lead God's people across America to separation and cleanliness and purity and decency and standards. And I'm saying, hey, you have an inner self that speaks to you. But if that inner self is not in good shape, you can't trust it. And you can't trust your conscience. You've got to get your conscience back in good shape. What do? You love. What do? Have a pure mind. What do? You fight the battle. There's something else. Look at Acts 24:16 again. Acts 24:16 again, please. Now, before I read this, I want to give you these three words again. Love, purity. Let's just say love, pure, fight. If you're going to get the conscience in good shape, you have to what? Love and be what? Pure and what? Fight. Have to do what? First, we have to love, then be what? Pure, and then what? Fight. Now, we're trying to get the conscience. We're trying to build it back up. We're trying to get it in shape. We're trying to give it vitamins. We're trying to give it minerals to get it back in good shape. The conscience is depraved. We want to trust it again. We got to build up that inner man, that man that advises us from within. That man that tells us right and wrong from the inside. We got to get him in good shape. We don't want that man deceiving us. So we have to love. And we have to be pure-minded. And we have to fight. But there's Acts 24:16. Look at it, please, and read it out loud. Ready? And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Now, that word exercise there is the word serve. Serve. Look at me. The word serve. That means if you want to get this conscience back, okay, let me have you, Brother Roy. Don't care. You're my conscience. And we're in the Garden of Eden. Except I'm going to wear clothes. And we're in the Garden of Eden. And I just ate a bite of an apple.
His house gave it to me.
And And so I just ate a bite of an apple. Now then, you got to lay down there on the floor. My conscience is seared, evil, defiled, and weak. Smell very good either. Now I got to get this conscience in shape. You got to help me. This, stand up here a minute. This way. Get up here. Hey, conscience. I'm loving. I'm fighting.
I'm sorry. I didn't.
Okay. We're in the Garden of Eden. Should I tell the truth or lie?
Truth.
Okay. Should I cheat or be honest?
Be honest.
Should I walk with God or not walk with God?
Walk with God.
Okay. My conscience is in good shape. But then I sinned. Now back down. Then I sinned. Now then, my conscience, I have got to have, and by the way, Adam and Eve didn't have a Bible. They had no printed word. Look at me now. Look at me. They had no printed word. Now here I am. I've got to know what to do. I've got to get my conscience back in good shape. Because I need that inner man to be strong and healthy to tell me what I'm supposed to do. All right? You tell me what the first thing I've got to do to get that guy in good shape. Say it out loud. Love. Okay. I got to have love. Okay? Sit up a little bit. He's getting stronger. But he's better shape now than he was. But I still can't trust him to tell me what to do. So the second thing I've got to do is be have a what kind of mind? A pure mind. I got to have a pure mind. That means I don't watch anything on the television that calls me to have an impure mind. That means I don't look at any magazine that'll cause me to have an impure mind. That means I don't get around women that are mixed bathing or mixed women on the beaches, so I'll keep a pure mind. That means I have got to work at it, and you do have to work at it, but by cracker, you can do it. So I've got to have a pure mind. I set up a little straighter. He's a little stronger now. I'm trying to get this inner me in good shape so we can be truthful. Tell me what I'm... I can't trust him right now. It's a seared conscience. It's an evil conscience. It's a weak conscience. It's still there. But he's getting stronger. Because of what? Love. And second, because of what kind of a mind? Pure. And third, because I'm going to do what? Fight. And that means fight the battle for God. Rouse then, soldiers. Rally around the banner. Ready, steady. Pass the word along. That means I'm supposed to fight. Now then, in Acts 24:16, it says I'm supposed to serve. What does that mean? I'm supposed to serve God. Now, how do I serve God? By serving his people. Listen carefully. There is no way you can serve God without serving people. Are you listening to me? No way you can serve God without serving people. Somebody tell me how you can serve God without serving people. Jesus said, inasmuch as you've done it and one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Said, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was sick and you visited me. Well, when did we give you something to eat? When did we give you something to drink? When did we visit you when you were sick? He said, inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. I'm simply saying, it's Christmas time. You could serve others. If there ever was an area where people had the opportunity to serve God. Did you know, I taught this in my Sunday school class, that you're married to Jesus? Did you know that? Listen to me, you're married to Jesus. Listen to me. You know why? Because if you're good to your wife, that means you're good to Jesus. If you're good to your husband, that means you're good to Jesus. If you're good to your children, that means you're good to Jesus. If you're good to your neighbors, that means you're good to Jesus. If you're good to your enemies, if they're God's children, that means you're good to Jesus. So I've got to serve. I've got to feed the hungry. Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you put any food in anybody's mouth besides your own? Now, answer yourself. How long has it been since you put food in a hungry mouth? If I ask you to raise your hand tonight, it'd be downright embarrassing. Ask a question. How long has it been since you bought a coat for somebody that didn't have one? How long has it been since you bought a pair of shoes for somebody that didn't have a good pair of shoes? About the extent of our doing for others is a few old cans of off-brand green beans and hominy that we bring for the Christmas food basket or the rescue mission, and maybe some old toys the kids have thrown away anyway to bring to give some poor kid. Now, you listen to me. You listen to me. You listen to me. We selfish people. I'm simply saying, if you want to make this man strong enough so he can tell you what to do and what's right and wrong and be a co-laborer with that book right there, you've got to serve other people. Did you know Christianity is more than just shouting in church? Did you know when you quit going to movies, that's not serving God? Did you know when you quit drinking, that's not serving God? The thing reason you're supposed to quit going to movies and quit drinking is so you can stay in the shape to serve God. I got to get this guy in good shape. Don't think I ever will, but I got to get him in good. Oh my soul. Okay, my conscience is seared. It's weak. I got to get it strong. What's the first thing I do? Talk to me. The first thing I do? Love. Second thing, I keep what kind of mind? Pure mind. Third thing, I what? Fight the battle. Fourth thing, I what? I serve God. Now, I'm getting this conscience back in good enough shape where I can trust it when it talks to me. Are you a little stronger now? Put one foot up there. All right. Turn, please, to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, verse 18. The last book of chapter of Hebrews, 13, 18. Read it out loud, please. Hebrews 13, 18. Ready? Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. Okay? If we're going to have a good conscience, we've got to be honest. Is that right? Okay. Now he's up a little bit more. A little stoop. That's right. That's right. Now we're getting him stronger. Now, why? Because we're honest. You don't pay your debt. Don't trust your conscience. I got a letter this recently. My lady in this town, this city, this area. One of our college families, and it could have been one of our non-college families too, moved out of a house or apartment, did not pay, did not clean it up. Now you listen to me. In the first place, if I knew who you were, I'd vote to expel you from college. But in the second place, they didn't even go to the lady and tell her. Don't you trust your conscience? Your conscience is not in good shape. I'm saying if you are going, you had this conscience. In the Garden of Eden, it was in good shape and you could trust it. It could co-knowledge, co-tell you what was right. The Word of God could tell you. Your conscience could tell you and supplement what the Word of God was not clear about. And the conscience could be trusted. But our conscience fell in the Garden of Eden. Now we've got to get it in good shape so we can trust it. And one thing you've got to do is be honest. The most honest people in the city of Hammond ought to be the people sitting right here in this room tonight. I'm talking to people that went to McDonald's today that owe a doctor bill that's 10 years old. Don't talk about being honest to me. And don't trust your conscience. Your conscience is in bad shape. Why? Because if you're not honest, you don't have a good conscience. But you say, my conscience is clear. Yeah, I know it's clear. Nothing in it. Just because your conscience is clear, honey, just because your conscience is clear, Oswald and Susie, does not mean that it's okay to do. Young people tell me they have a clear conscience about listening to rock music. People tell me they go to movies and have a clear conscience. And they do. I think it's true. They do. They got a clear conscience, but a sick, weak, depraved conscience that will not be able to tell the truth until they get strong enough to be honest again. So, honesty. All right, you've got to get him stronger. Turn your Bibles, please, to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. He looks sort of funny standing there like that. No, you're doing well. You're doing real well. Look at verse 15 of 1 Peter chapter 3. Read that verse out loud. Ready? But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. What's that talking about? It's talking about telling folks about Jesus. It's talking about soul winning. Okay, now look at it. It goes on to say, having a good conscience. Look at me. To get this fellow stronger so he can be trustworthy and reliable, we've got to be soul winners. Now this guy's soul, now that we're going to win souls, a little bit better. You got a little better. You got a lot better and you got worse all of a sudden. I quit winning souls real regularly there for a while. Now folks, there's more to this thing about soul winning than just begging somebody down the aisle. There's more to this thing about soul winning than just winning the soul winner of the year in the foster club. There's more to this thing about soul winning than just get somebody baptized and do all we can to get people walked down this aisle. The one thing about soul winning, if you're not a soul winner, your conscience is in bad shape. You don't have a good conscience. Well, you say, I've got my conscience. It's clear about this thing. It may be clear, but it's not a good conscience. It's an evil conscience. It's a seared conscience, and it's a weak conscience. All right? I've given you several things. I said first, what? Talk to me. First, what? Love. Second, what? Pure mind. Third, what? Fight. Fourth, what? Serve. Say it again. Serve. Fifth, what? Honest. Be honest. And sixth, be a soul winner. Okay, let me show you now. We're in the Garden of Eden. We're back in the Garden of Eden again.
That's before we sin, huh?
Yeah. Thanks for saying we sin. Okay. Can I trust him? I'm talking about the Garden of Eden. We're playing like now. I'm not asking, can I trust Roy Moffat? All of us know that better than that. Can I trust him? Okay. Should I be honest? Should I walk with God?
Yes, you should walk with God. Mm-hmm.
Should I get mad at Eve? How about Beverly?
Yeah. No.
Okay. Can I trust him? Yeah. But then came sin. And when the fall came, the conscience fell. Now I've got to get that conscience back alive. I've got to get it where I can trust it again. Now, folks, if you don't, listen to me, if you do not do the things we've mentioned so far, don't trust your conscience. But you say, what should I do? You go to somebody that you think has a conscience that's in good shape, and you seek counsel from them and do what they say do. Did you know that you don't have to think rock music is bad to quit it? Did you know you don't have to think going to Hollywood movies is bad to have to quit it? But I don't see anything wrong with Disney movies. In the first place, if you check it out, you'll see something wrong with them. But I don't see anything wrong with it. But you don't have to see anything wrong with it. All you've got to do is find somebody whose conscience is in good shape that sees something wrong with it. Now, I've got to get this conscience in shape so it cannot be. I can trust it again. What's the first thing I'm going to do? Love. Okay, I'm going to love. Okay, I love. He's a little better. Okay. Now, can I trust him yet? No. But he's getting stronger. All right, what's the second thing I've got to do? I've got to have a pure mind. And brother, there's a heap of people right here tonight whose minds have not been pure. I'm talking about HBO. I'm talking about Showtime. I'm talking about the movie channel. And I'm talking about practically all these prime time whoremongers on television. And I'm talking about every one of these stinking soap operas. Well, that's why I got a pure mind. He's getting stronger. Don't get too strong too fast. Now, you got a long ways to go, son. All right? First thing is what? Love. Third thing is a what? Pure mind. Fourth is what? Fight. I got to fight the battle. I got to take my stand. I'm a fundamentalist. I'm going to fight for the Bible, fight for truth, fight for decency, fight for right, fight the queer crowd,
Quite fight the abortion crowd. I've got to fight the Hollywood movies. I've got to fight the tobacco crowd. I got to fight the liquor crowd. I'm going to fight the battle. Why? I'm trying to get my conscience in good shape so he can tell me what to do and I can trust him.
All right? Love. Pure mind. Fight. And then what else? Serve. Ask a question. What are you doing for God? What are you doing for God? As I come to church every Sunday morning, that's not doing anything for God. That's doing something for you. What are you doing for God? Well, I come back on Sunday night. No, I said, what are you doing for God? Well, I quit smoking. I didn't say, what are you not doing for God? I said, what are you doing for God? I'm saying, what are you doing? Are you serving? So I'm getting a little stronger now. I'm serving. Now the next thing I've got to be to get my conscience in good shape is I've got to be what? Honest. Say it. Honest. First is what? Love. Second is what? Pure mind. Third is what? Fight. Fourth is what? Serve. Fifth is what? Be honest. He's getting a little stronger all the time. Sixth is soul winning. I've got to be a soul winner. Number seven. Look, if you would please, to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 19. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 19. This is an interesting verse. Read it out loud. 1 Peter 2, 19. Ready? For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. What does it mean? It means you suffer when you're not supposed to suffer. You take it. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. For my name's sake, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. You say, oh, but somebody made me mad and I'm not going to come back to church. Then don't trust your conscience. But I've been offended. Now I'm going to change churches. Don't trust your conscience. You have got to be willing to be treated wrongfully and endure it. There's not a single Christian in this room who does these things we've already said. But what will be mistreated and be treated wrongfully. And brother, when that comes, you got to quit your whining, you got to cancel your pity party, and you got to say, I'm going to take it. Boy, I love that book of Micah. There's not a book in the Bible I love any more than Micah. Micah was knocked down, and he was on the bottom, and he said, I am on the bottom, but he said, hang around. I'm getting back up. He said, you hang around long enough and you'll see me back up. He said, don't you rejoice too much because I'm down. Because if you're rejoicing because I'm down, you won't be rejoicing because I'm getting back up. That's what he's talking about here. When the persecution comes and the battles come, take it. Take it. Keep on going. Don't quit. I'm getting him stronger now. Now look, please, at 1 Peter 3:21, very familiar passage. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 21. Read it out loud, please. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now what's that mean? That means that being baptized helps you have a good conscience. Well, why? It's obedience. And now then he's strong. And now I can trust him. If I ask him what's wrong, I think he'll tell me the truth. If I ask him what's right, I can trust him. But I can't trust him till I build him up, and I can't build him up till I do the things we talked about tonight. That means if you've got hatred in your heart, don't trust your conscience. That means if you don't have agape love, don't trust your conscience. That means if you have a mind that is not pure, don't trust your conscience. That means if you're not fighting the battle for God, don't trust your conscience. That means if you're not serving God in some positive capacity, don't trust your conscience. That means if you're dishonest and don't pay your debts and you can't be trusted, don't trust your conscience. A little guy came to the office the other day, a few weeks ago, been stealing. shoplifting, stealing money from his mom and dad, finding his mother's purse and taking money out of it. And I said, do you agree with what I preach? He said, I don't agree with you on rock music. I don't guess you would. You haven't got a conscience that's in good shape. What you ought to do, Johnny, is, and it's not his name, not Johnny. Sure as I say that, we've got 45 Johnnies here been listening to rock music. What you ought to do, Johnny and Billy and Susie and Mary and Agnes and Richard and Robert and all of you, what you ought to do is look at somebody like these men up here on this platform who have a conscience that's clean, who haven't been shoplifting, and haven't been stealing out of mama's purse, and are honest and decent and honorable. Trust what they say. I want to show you something. He's on the floor here. Brother Bob, stand up over there. And Bob, you stand up beside him. Okay. Bob O'Clair, he's your conscience. You've got a hooker for a conscience. You know that, don't you? Oh. All right, now wait a minute. His conscience is healthy. I've got to decide what's right or wrong. My conscience tells me it's okay to do something. Conscience? Is it okay for me to listen to rock music? Loud. Would you check with your conscience and see what it says to you, Bob? You think I ought to trust this conscience or that one? I'm going to find somebody who loves, somebody has a pure mind, somebody that fights a battle for God, somebody who's honest, somebody who's a soul winner. I'm going to find somebody who endures persecution and keeps on going. I'm going to find somebody that obeys the commands of God, and I'm going to find out from them what I'm supposed to do if I'm not doing these things, because I don't trust my conscience. My conscience is in bad shape. Now, folks, you listen to me tonight. You shouldn't always trust your conscience. Let your conscience be your guide. No, let your healthy conscience be your guide. And if your conscience isn't healthy, let somebody who has a healthy conscience be your guide. Some little guy in junior high who cheats on tests, trying to decide whether rock music is wrong or not. You better walk up to your teacher and ask your teacher whether it's wrong and trust your teacher's answer. Because you've got a puny, sick, little, piddling conscience. And you're not going to get your conscience in good shape till you do the things here that get your conscience back in good shape. You think it's okay we're having a drinking party that some of the high school kids are getting together? What do you think about that? Good idea. You're fired. Would you check with your conscience, please, about a drinking party? Whom should I trust? This guy lying here about half dead, or this guy standing up about half dead? I got this girl I want to date. She goes to No Saints Church across the street over here. But she sure is cute. You think I'll date her? I think and that's the way some of you college students do. And that's the way my conscience is clear. Your conscience is dead. You check with your conscience, he's in good shape. No, I have a clear conscience. Clear down. Ladies and gentlemen, until you get the place to where you have done the things that God says you're supposed to do to get your conscience in good shape, don't you trust what he says. Well, something inside me says it's all right if I smoke or dip or chew. Yeah, but that's something inside you has got AIDS. And don't you trust him? Now you sit with the house, how can I know if I can trust my conscience? It's right here. Do you love? Do you have a pure mind? Are you fighting God's battles? Are you serving him? Are you honest? Cheat on test? Cheat on your activity report? Say you went soul winning and didn't. I see people whose doors being knocked on. Your phone is ringing. Soul winning. You're 16 years old. You go on teenage soul winning every Saturday morning. But you don't really do that. You go down to McDonald's and sit there for a couple of hours with all the rest of some other kids. Come back home, come back to church, say, well, Eddie, you've been soul winning. Go home, tell your mom you've been teenage soul winning, and you're a liar. Don't trust your conscience. Don't trust your conscience. Endure persecution? Okay, let me show you. My conscience is here. It's been a good service for you, hasn't it? I saw you asleep over a while ago. I want to make you comfortable for what I want to do. Okay, my conscience is seared, defiled, evil. You sorry conscience. Okay, now, I've got a first what? Love, okay? Just barely, that's good. Okay, can I trust him yet? Should I trust him? Yeah. Okay, what's the second thing I'm supposed to do? Have a mind that's what? Pure. Okay. I'm going to clean up my act. I'm going to keep my mind pure. So now he's straightened up again. Shall I trust him yet? Huh? Shall I trust him? Yeah. And so I decided to get in the fight. Start fighting the battle for God. So now he's a little stronger. Shall I trust him yet? I'm getting him in shape to trust him. But until I do, I got to trust that one over there. And then I start serving God. Get me a bus route. Start working on a bus route. Get me a Sunday school class. Start going soul winning. Work with the Vietnamese. Work with the Spanish. Work with the deaf. Go foster club. Candle of the Lord club. Fisherman's club. I'm serving God. Can I trust him yet? No. He's getting stronger, but trust him. He's in better shape. You know whether you got, you know how you are on these things right here, and to whatever degree you do not qualify on these things, to that degree, you better trust somebody else's judgment about right and wrong. And that's why it makes me sick for some little punko to say, I just don't agree with my mom and dad. And here's where they are. I just don't agree with my mom and dad. Well, you sorry rascal, you do what they say. Your conscience is not strong enough to trust. But I got a clear conscience. You got a seared conscience. So, I decided to go soul winning. Do I trust him yet? No. I don't trust him till I get him in good enough shape to where he'll tell me what is right. And then I get him strong. Now, I have two things. I have this, and I have this. Co-science. Co-knowledge. Co-laborers. You, my healthy conscience, and God's perfect book, co-work to tell me what I'm supposed to do. The principles are in this book. The details are in my healthy conscience. Now, here's what happens. People that don't trust this book also don't have... People don't have a healthy book, don't have a healthy conscience. Because the same type people don't use the King James Bible, the people don't have the standards they ought to have either. It goes along together. I double dog dare you to check the churches that preach the King James Bible only and the churches that preach other Bibles and see what kind of standards they have. So I have two things going for me. I got the Bible that covers almost everything. When I was in the Army, we walked guard and we had the general orders. General orders for guard. And the last general orders, I remember correctly, was to call the corporal of the guard in any case not covered by instructions. We had the book, the general orders, the book. It told us what to do. But it did not tell us what to do if a ship came up in Arizona. So we called the corporal of the guard. Now, what we've got to do is have a corporal of the guard we can trust. And if we do, we can call him and ask him what to do. Now, the general orders took care of almost everything. This book contains the general orders. But there are things that this book does not exactly elaborate or go in detail about. And I've got to have somebody to call on. And I've got to have a good conscience. And if I have a good conscience, I've got to love. I've got to have a pure mind. I've got to fight. I've got to serve. I've got to be a soul winner. I've got to be honest. I've got to bear up under persecution. I have got to get my conscience in shape so I can trust him. If I were you, I'd get this tape and I would listen to it and I would learn these points and I would do what these points said so that I would have a conscience that's well and strong and good and clear that can tell me this inner man, this other me, that can tell me what I'm to do and be accurate because I've met the qualifications to keep him strong. Thank you, fellas, and shall we stand?